You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It has been almost 2 weeks since the Sacramento Kings have played a game inside the Golden 1 Center. Far too long. The Kings return after 7 of their first 10 games on the road. They are 6-4 as they take to their home floor tonight against the Red Hot. And I mean Red Hot Toronto Raptors, who are coming off of two huge victories with Kawhi Leonard not even playing a single second. But good news, ladies and gentlemen. Bogdan Bogdanovic is back, and he's making his season debut tonight for the Sacramento Kings. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George, your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Kings in California capital, Sacramento. Hope you had a great day yesterday. Hope you got your voting done and you're ready for Kings basketball to return tonight. It's only been 2 days off since the Kings lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, but those 2 days feel like eternity. We need Kings basketball back, and we are going to get it here tonight in Sac Town. Very excited about that. If you are new to this podcast, this is Locked On Kings. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings conversation, updates, interviews, which we're going to have an interview for you today, a different kind of special interview for you. Maybe a guy you might not like too much based off the article that he wrote for The Ringer a couple days ago, but I'll get to that in just a little bit. All you could possibly ask for if you're a Kings fan in a podcast, hopefully this is it, and you'll make this your podcast home like so many others have, and I'm thankful to each and every single person that listens to this podcast every single day, every single week, and uses this as a platform to listen to and talk Sacramento Kings basketball. Now, if you're new, there's one thing you need to understand about this podcast is that this is not just a show for you to listen to hear me blab, and then that's it. This is a show for you. This is a place and a platform for you to share your thoughts, your opinions, and get involved in Sacramento Kings conversation. How do you do that? In many ways. You can respond to multiple people on Twitter, including myself, if you are on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. Hit me a follow. Let me know that you are listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. I'll give you a follow right back, give you a big thank you, and talk Kings basketball with you anytime. If you're not on Twitter, don't worry. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I get emails every single day from Kings fans around the world, not just in Sacramento, and I appreciate those, and I respond to those and read all those, and those make my day, truly. So please, send those in. Let's spark more Kings conversation as much as possible. So today, I have an interview for you with Jonathan Charks from The Ringer. He is the author of the article last night, questioning whether Marvin Bagley was the right fit for this Kings team and if they're leaving him behind with the kind of offense that they are moving forward with. Well, I had an interview with him, actually just got off the phone with him before recording this podcast, and we recorded this interview that I think you are going to enjoy, or hopefully you enjoy, even if you disagree with some of his takes. And I disagree with a lot of what he said. I wanted to invite him here because hearing him expound on some of his thoughts, or continue to explain why he thinks one way or another, using more numbers to support his argument, anything like that, you can always learn and you can always grow from that. And I enjoy it, so hopefully you will as well. I also want to warn you ahead of time, I did not invite him on to debate him. Some people like that kind of form. Some people are into the first take, Stephen A. Smith style of debate and shows and things like that. That's typically not what I like to do. I wanted to invite him on, and I wanted to challenge some of his points a little bit and just get more of an explanation from Jonathan Charks, the writer in the basketball mind, not the guy that's just putting paragraphs out there that are edited and formatted in a way that's easy to read and hopefully understandable. So Jonathan was great. He was super nice and willing to come on right away. So he's going to be joining me here on this podcast in just a second. But like I said, coming off the top, it is official. Bogdan Bogdanovic is returning tonight for the Sacramento Kings. Now, we had to wait all the way up until noon today to find out if he was going to be coming back or not. He was waiting not for his okay, because he's wanted to play for the last week and he said as much. He wasn't waiting for Coach Yeager's okay. He was waiting for the doctor okay, and they wanted to make sure they took as much time as possible to make sure he was 100% ready to go, and there was not a very large risk. I mean, there's always risk of re-aggravating an injury. It's not foolproof, but they wanted to make sure all their bases were covered as much as possible. And clearly, based off of the decision today, that he is ready to go, that decision has been made. So we have been waiting for a long time to have Bogdan Bogdanovic back. Yes, 10 games of an 82-game season is a long time. And I'm very excited to see how he plugs in. I'm expecting him to be on a minutes restriction. Now, I don't know this for certain, but this is just the guess that he will be on a minutes restriction. He will not start tonight. He most likely will come off the bench. Again, a guess. I don't know that for certain. It'll be interesting to see how immediately he helps the Kings' second unit, especially in regards to scoring. So I'm very excited to see him back here tonight, and if he is truly 100% healthy and he stays that way for the remainder of the season, in my opinion, the 6-4 Kings only got better, and they're going to need to get better based off of the massive stretch of talent that they are taking over these next 10 games. You got the Raptors tonight that are red hot. You have the Lakers coming into town, the Minnesota Timberwolves coming into town, the Spurs coming into town. You have the Jazz twice. You have the Golden State Warriors in Golden State. You have the Rockets in Houston. These next 10 games are tough, to say the least. But with Bogdan Bogdanovic back, this Kings team is ready to go and is anxious to prove that they can beat anybody on any given night, especially on their home floor. So I hope you will be out at the Golden One Center tonight to watch this game and cheer on your 6-4 Kings, who deserve a full house tonight as they take on the Toronto Raptors. And they are going to need your help and your support here tonight, and the volume and the energy given only by the sixth man in Sacramento, because Toronto has been playing out of their mind. They are a very, very good, very talented team. And if the Kings want to defeat the juggernaut in the Eastern Conference, or one of the juggernauts in the Eastern Conference, they are going to need your help and your support in the G1 seat tonight. Take a quick pause. When we come back, Jonathan Charks from The Ringer joins me to discuss his article and why he thinks that the Kings and Marvin Bagley are moving in separate directions so far through these first 10 games. The Sacramento Kings are off to one of their best starts in recent memory. Certainly during this 12-year playoff drought, they are 6-4, and things seem to be clicking, especially with this starting lineup. Nemanja Bjelica ended up being one of the signings of the summer NBA-wide for how well he has played for the Sacramento Kings, shooting lights out from three-point range as the starting stretch four for this Kings team. And the Kings have been looking for a stretch four for God knows how long. They seem to have finally have found it, but they also, in this year's draft, with the second overall pick, drafted Marvin Bagley. Very exciting prospect, someone I like here in Sacramento, very athletic big that seems to fit the system with what the Kings are trying to do, which is playing fast and an up and down tempo. But there was an article that came out on The Ringer recently, actually came out yesterday, and it's titled, "The Sacramento Kings Have Found Their Blueprint, But It's Leaving Someone Special Behind." And I'm happy to be joined by the writer and author of that article, Mr. Jonathan Charks from The Ringer. Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time appearing on the Locked On Kings podcast. I appreciate you making time in your busy schedule.
Yeah, no problem. How you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. Anxious, and I'm interested to talk about this article because I talked about it a little bit on yesterday's podcast. My initial reaction was mostly disagreement with some that you had to say, so we'll discuss it and get it out here. But I also understood the premise. I believe I understand the premise of what you were trying to say, so hopefully we can get some good back and forth here. But before we dive into that specifically, I wanted to ask, what inspired you to write this article? What about this Kings team has caught your eye and said, you know, I need to sit down and write about Marvin Bagley's fit into what this Kings team is doing?
Well, I mean, I just think they've been fun to watch. It's like, I feel like this is the first time, I think probably since they fired Mike Malone, where like, okay, you can see a plan on the court. You have like the three or four best players, they're all working together, and they have a defined identity, and there's some like, and they're all in roles that fit their game. So I was like, well, that's pretty unusual for Sacramento. But then I was like, man, they have this formula. How does this guy Bagley from this formula long term?
You mentioned the long term, and I think the long term development is what everybody's really focusing on. I don't think, being the second overall pick in the draft, there's obviously expectations to come out and make an immediate impact, right? But we forget that Bagley is 19. He left high school a year early, entered college a year early. So development-wise, just normally he's behind the bar a little bit, but we're not really going to hold that against Bagley or use that as an excuse for him. He certainly doesn't want to use that as an excuse himself. He's ready and proven with the limited minutes that he's gotten off the bench to be an NBA-ready player, at least in some caliber. But you voiced concerns that with Nemanja Bjelica playing as well as he is at the starting four and the way the Kings are playing with Nemanja Bjelica spacing the floor and shooting over 50% from three-point range, you're concerned that if the Kings were to swap Bagley for Bjelica, that production would drop off. What sparked that initial concern?
Well, it's just you look at the formula they're using, where they're running. Well, they're running pick and rolls with Fox and Colley Stein, right? That's like the foundation piece. You have a slashing point guard, a rim running center. Well, if you have those two pieces, you've got to have three shooters around them to spread the floor. And I just don't really think Bagley can be a floor spacing big at this point in his career. I think that's probably 2, 3, 4 years on the line, even the best case scenario.
So you bring up this point in his career, and I think that's the major point of contention that I had with the article specifically, is because it seems like, I mean, we've only seen a 10-game sample size, and I'm not going to tell anybody, myself included, I throw out takes all the time, so we can't tell anybody to wait because that's not what we do in this industry.
Absolutely not.
So through 10 games of a small sample size, what you're saying actually makes sense, and that's what I explained on the podcast yesterday. If tomorrow, or let's say today against the Toronto Raptors, the Kings started Marvin Bagley instead of Nemanja Bjelica, I agree with you. I believe there would be drop-off. However, Marvin Bagley is shooting also over 50% from three-point range. He shot a high percentage in college as well. The problem is he doesn't take too many attempts, and obviously defenders don't respect him as a three-point shooter nearly as much as they respect Nemanja Bjelica. So I want to ask you specifically, do you feel like there is a rush because he's the number two overall pick for the Kings to implement him into their system and for him to be a starter?
I don't think so. I think the Kings aren't going to start him all season. Like, that'd be my suspicion. They've got a good thing going now. Like, I don't think they'll do that.
So looking at Nemanja Bjelica, though, and the Kings do have him under contract for the next couple of years, so it's not like he's going to be a one-and-done type player that they're just having him be a placeholder in the short term. He could be a part of this team, who knows, for the next couple of years, and if they bring him back, his game certainly fits his 30-year-old body so that he can continue to play beyond just the next season or two. But I'm curious, and there's a couple things specifically in the article that I wanted to address. One of the things that you said, it said Sacramento has found a formula it can build on. The question is whether it will. Marvin Bagley III, number two overall pick in this year's draft, doesn't fit easily with the new starting lineup. While his per-minute stats are comparable with other rookie of the year front-runners like Luka Doncic, Trae Young, and DeAndre Ayton, putting him in a major role may be scrapping what the Kings have done well all season. So that part right there, the scrapping what they've been doing well all season. In my opinion, Marvin Bagley is still effectively able to develop in limited minutes off the bench versus being thrown into a 30 to 35 minute per night scenario with the starting lineup. Do you think that it hurts his development or holds him back development-wise to not be playing in the starting lineup right away?
No, but I think the issue is Willie Cauley-Stein next summer. Like, if you pay Willie Cauley-Stein, he's the rim runner. Bagley has to be the floor spacer, right? That, to me, is the issue. It's like the long-term complementary effects of these young players. I just don't see, if you have De'Aaron Fox as your point guard, you can have two non-floor spacing bigs together.
And that makes sense, especially in regards to Willie Cauley-Stein being on a contract year, and we've been looking at and dealing with a lot of inconsistencies of Willie over these last few years, to say the least. Now, he is playing well, off to a great start this season, averaging 15 points per game. A lot of that has to do with the fact that he's probably looking to get a Clint Capella-type contract or something in that ballpark. But I'm hesitant to dismiss the idea that Marvin Bagley can turn into a stretch four when needed and when he plays alongside Willie Cauley-Stein, due to the fact that he is already shooting at a decent three-point percentage.
I think what I would look at is the free throw percentage, because like they've statistically shown that's really the indicator of long-term shooting potential. He shot 60% from the line at college. He's shooting, what's he shooting in the Kings right now? I'll look it up.
I think it's in the 60s, the low 60s.
Yeah, and so then, like, yeah, he's shooting from three-point line, but attempts, he shot 1.8 a game at Duke, which is only 58 attempts. I think he's at, like, 1.2 in Sacramento. And to me, it's more about the number of attempts than the percentages, because the number of attempts, that draws the defense out of the paint. And I think if you're making Bagley a three-point shooter, I think where he's best is getting to the rim is posting up. So you're asking something he's not actually very good at right now and making him not as good version of himself.
Is there any scenario in your mind that makes sense where you can start the two of them together for limited minutes and then move to a rotation between the two, swapping each one out? Say you substitute Willie out at the 7-minute mark of the first quarter, have Bagley finish out most of that quarter, have Willie Cauley-Stein start the second quarter.
See, I like that, but I think you'd have to start Bjelica. You got to have that shooting. Like, to me, the NBA is a shooting league. And you've got two athletic rim-running bigs, so you've got to have them with a shooter. So So I think, like, it'd make more sense to keep starting Bielitsa and also take them at the five.
So I'm curious, from your perspective, watching this Kings team, obviously Willie Cauley-Stein, more of a veteran, spent more time in the league than Bagley has through just 10 games. But are you leaning any one way over the other? If you had to choose between the two, would you take the project in Bagley with the high potential over, you pretty much know what you're going to get with Willie Cauley-Stein?
Well, because the thing about it is, I mean, Bagley, I think, has more upside, right? But he's 19. I think, like, it'll take him two or three or four more years to get there. And you've already spent two or three, 4 more years with Cauley-Stein developing him. And I think, yes, he's been inconsistent, but I don't think Cauley-Stein's game made sense with the old system whatsoever. I mean, he basically had no chance to be good playing in a slow tempo next to Zach Randolph or DeMarcus Cousins. I think that was not a fit for his game. I think his signature with Cauley-Stein, but even this new system, is making him a better player. So to me, it's like, it's more about how do you maximize pieces on hand. And if you have to choose one or the other, it's delaying your process of growth long term.
So I'm interested with your perspective then on how Bogdan Bogdanovic coming back could potentially help with what we can see out of Bagley specifically in the second unit. If you were looking at developing Bagley while you still have Willie Cauley-Stein in the system, and I don't think anyone's going to argue with you that Nemanja Bjelica needs to be taken out of the starting lineup. I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Bringing a Bogdan Bogdanovic in the second unit off the bench with him, we haven't seen Bagley play as much with De'Aaron Fox as maybe I would have liked to see, but having another facilitator on there like Bogdan Bogdanovic, who helped Willie Cauley-Stein a lot last season. What are you expecting to see from Bagley there?
I think that'll help a lot with Bogdan. I think the question with Bogdan is he going to end up starting next to Buddy Hield, or do they have to keep a defensive player in? And that's the issue to me long term, is like, how it's not really about their games by themselves, it's all about how they fit into a broader system. And to me, the thing, like, if you want to make Bagley a better player, I think you have to run a different kind of system, I think, to make him the best version of himself.
Do you think this system that the Kings are running right now and how effective this starting lineup has been relies more on Bielitsa being in there or relies more on Willie Cauley-Stein being there? Because it sounds like it's coming down to a decision between Willie and Bagley.
But see, to me, it's both, because Cauley-Stein is better defensively. He's a fourth-year big man, right? So if you put Bagley for Cauley-Stein's role, you're asking a 19-year-old to be the quarterback of your defense. And then Bielitsa is not exactly a great defensive player either, right? So it's hard to ask Bagley to cover for two guys when he's played zone in college. Like, to me, it's all about, it's all together. Like, to me, Bielitsa, Cauley-Stein, Fox, they're all incredibly valuable. If you take any of those three out, what they do now is not going to work.
I want to ask you also about Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, this is a bit separate from the article itself, but we've debated, and I actually had a guest on yesterday talking about Willie Cauley-Stein's value and how he's been playing so far on his contract year. If you had to lean one way or another versus paying him or letting him walk for the Kings specifically, if you were in Vlade's shoes, what would you lean on doing?
I mean, it'd be hard to let him walk, right? If you have a good, like, let's say, like, I don't still make the playoffs, right? That playoffs probably not going to happen. But let's say they win, like, I don't know, 30 games. That'd be a massive improvement. And Cauley-Stein has a big year statistically. It'd be hard to let him go, wouldn't it? Like, it'd try to sell it to your fans, I think.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep him.
This issue seemingly with the basis of this article, and last thing for you, I appreciate you taking the time. It seems like you're basically debating what's working right now versus can it continue to work in the future when you swap a piece versus another piece. You mentioned Marvin Bagley probably going to take 2-3 years to develop into hopefully an outside shooter, but also someone that could also be plugged into Willie Cauley-Stein's role potentially as a rim protector and a better defender. I think Marvin Bagley has already developed and shown signs of being better on the defensive end than people gave him credit for, although he still has a lot to learn. Is it an effective system or an idea or a concept? Do you think the Kings can be successful paying Willie Cauley-Stein, having him hold down that starting five spot for the next 3 years while Bagley develops into that, and then deciding what you got and deciding between prime Bagley and prime Willie Cauley-Stein?
I mean, I think you could do that, but I think that probably means if you're going to keep them separated, that means limiting their playing time. I think maybe you could find a way to play them together for stretches, but it just feels like to me it's not the optimal use for either one of those guys. I think, like, they'd both be better with a pure shooter next to them, so playing them together, I think, lowers their value than it would be otherwise. Does that make sense?
That is Jonathan Charks from The Ringer. Pleasure speaking with you, Jonathan. Thank you so much for taking the time to appear here on the podcast. You host a show or are part of a show, The Ringer NBA Show, on Fridays. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So The Ringer NBA Show, we have podcasts out every morning, pretty much all season. And there's different shows under that umbrella. Our show's called The Corner Theory. It's me, Kevin O'Connor, Danny Chow. We do the NBA. We do college, talk about the draft. A lot of Zion Williamson talk. I don't know if you watched Zion last night, but
he looked amazing. He's amazing.
That guy is a lot of Zion. Well, we're going to be a Zion podcast probably. Yes, yeah, so it's every Friday morning. That's on our podcast feed, on whatever you get your podcast from.
Well, be sure to check that out. Also, follow Jonathan on Twitter, at Jonathan Charks. That's T-J-A-R-K-S is the spelling of the last name. And keep an eye on his work and the rest of the great work that The Ringer does. Jonathan, again, thank you for responding and appearing and coming on the podcast defending the article a little bit. I certainly appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good day, man.
If you haven't gotten the chance to read Jonathan's article, I encourage you to do so, even if you disagree with it like I do. Hope you enjoyed this interview. Again, my intention was not to bring him on and scream and yell at him or try and have a Stephen A. Smith style debate. It's just to give him an opportunity to maybe go into a little more detail about why he felt the way that he did and trying to share a little bit more light and a little more information and what inspired him to write this article and what inspired the way that he feels about the Kings and Marvin Bagley currently. But he admitted as much as did I that it's a short and very small sample size. So what he could be talking about or is talking about could be irrelevant by that midway point of the season as the Kings make adjustments and Bagley continues to develop positively. At least that's what we are hoping for. But again, thank you to Jonathan for taking the time to come here on the Locked On Kings podcast. He was more than willing to do so, responded to me right away and accepted my invitation immediately. So I hope you enjoyed that and enjoyed chatting with him as much as I did. Tonight, Sacramento Kings, Toronto Raptors in Sacramento inside the Golden One Center. I hope you will be out there for that one. When we come back for tomorrow's episode, we'll have a full review of that game with highlights included. Many fans are expecting a Kings loss here tonight. Here is my one expectation for this team, especially coming off of the last loss in Milwaukee against the Bucks. The Kings are obviously not favored, despite the fact that they are at home, but I said this a million times coming into this season, that the importance of defending your home floor it cannot be overstated, but especially against the weaker Eastern Conference. Now, there's nothing really weak about this Toronto Raptors team. They are the real deal, and they are very, very tough to beat. However, being in your own building against a non-conference opponent, I expect this Kings team to be competitive every single time. You cannot afford to be blown out or lose by double digits in this game. I would not be totally okay with 45 minutes of close basketball and the Raptors just flipping that switch and winning the game in the final 3 minutes. I can live with that. I can accept that. But the Kings need to make sure they come out and prove that 6-4 start wasn't a fluke. Give their home fans a show and, more importantly, play their style of basketball, do what they do best, and force the Toronto Raptors to come into Sacramento and play the Kings game, not the Kings welcome the Raptors in and show as much hospitality as to play the game that the Raptors thrive in. So we'll have to wait and see. Good, tough test for Dave Yeager's Young Kings here tonight. Should be a fun atmosphere inside the Golden One Center. If you want to be a part of the show, let me know. We're doing the Fans Only podcast later on this month, and I'm still accepting anybody who wants to try and be on it. All you have to do is email me or tweet me at MattGeorgeKHDK or mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com and share with me a little bit of your Kings story and why you want to be a part of that episode and of the Fans Only podcast, and I'll be making a decision about that very shortly. We'll be recording it soon, and it will be out for your enjoyment in the very near future. So for those who are new, thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we'll come back for many more in the future. For those who always listen to the Locked On Kings podcast, you guys are the best. I appreciate each and every single one of you, and I hope to have you back tomorrow and every day from here on out that at least I'm doing this podcast. So have yourself a good night tonight. Go Kings. Enjoy the game. You can live tweet along with me tonight at MattGeorgeKHDK again. And that will do it for another episode here of the Locked On Kings podcast. I will speak with you tomorrow. Full review of this Raptors game and more on the Thursday edition of Locked On Kings, and we'll get ready for the doubleheader of the Timberwolves and the Lakers on Friday and Saturday. A lot of fun happening in Sacramento this week, and it begins tonight with Kings and Raptors inside the G1C. You've been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.